Nehemiah chapter 1. If you'll go ahead and stand once you find your place. Stand verse number 1 there. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain of men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Any of you start your prayers off that way? Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech you, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to thy prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Obviously, we all know, I've been preaching on revival here lately, and I told you I'm going to get tired of it. It's been on my heart and on my mind. I've been reading and studying about it myself, apart from studying to preach, just studying about it myself, trying to find it for myself and be able to pass it along to you. I don't know of any better book of the Bible to study revival than of Nehemiah. That's what this book is. It is a study of the physical and the spiritual revival of a nation. So I want to start here tonight. If Lord allows, I may continue on studying it some more about the subject of revival through the book of Nehemiah. I don't know, but I'm going to start tonight in chapter number 1. We can read all kinds of stories and books on revival. I can read you stories of revivals in the past and history of the past, and that's all well and good. But what better way to learn about revival than to read it from the scriptures and what the Bible has to say about it? So tonight I'm going to start off reading it here in the book, chapter number 1 of the book of Nehemiah, and just preaching on revival and what it is and the revival of Nehemiah that took place with Nehemiah. One of our biggest problems today, I hate to admit it, but I believe one of our main reasons we don't have revival in our day like they have had in days gone by is a sin of indifference. We are complacent to the problem. Our attitude many times is, ask me if I care. I don't care. Is there anyone here that would like to see God do something at New Hope Baptist Church? I'm not talking about blowing the church up with a bunch of people. I'm not talking about adding people to it, although that would be great. Let them come. I'm not talking about numbers and definitely not talking about finances. I'm talking about a change in our hearts and a change in our walk with the Lord, a change in our devotion to the Lord. Make the Lord a priority in our homes and our lives even more than he may already be. Don't you want to see that? Or are you indifferent towards it? There's two options. You can either want it or you don't care. It's the two choices you got. Don't you care tonight? Don't you want to be as close to God as you can be? Maybe you don't. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. That's the personal decision you have to make. I believe a lot of us, many times, if we're not careful, we can become comfortable the way we are and don't see a need to change. That's what I'm afraid of, is keeping churches, not just here, churches in general, from seeing a widespread revival and a widespread move of God. Christians who are comfortable. Christians who see no need to scoot a little closer to God, get a little closer to him, a little closer to the Lord, serve him a little bit more. Christians who are unwilling to change or remove some things for life in order to get as close to God as they possibly can be. Anybody like that here today? I'm not pointing fingers. You might say, no, preacher, I never do that. I've been there before. I've been comfortable before. And Lord, I don't want to move. I don't want to change. I like the way it is now. I've been that way before. Lord, that's many times over and over again, has to correct me and get me moving again, get me wanting to get closer to him again. Lord has to straighten me out many times. Nehemiah, the point I want to draw tonight, was not that way. Obviously, Nehemiah cared. He cared about the past. He cared for those in the present. He cared for God's people. He cared for God's land. He cared for God's word. He cared about his home place. He cared about the glory of God taking in his home place. I'm going to show you four different ways tonight that Nehemiah cared. He was not indifferent. He didn't throw his hands up and say, oh, well, that's for somebody, that's somebody else's job. He didn't leave it up to the preachers to build the wall. Nehemiah was no prophet, no preacher. He was a layman. He is just a man concerned about his people, concerned about the glory of God, concerned about doing something for the Lord. So Nehemiah cared. Go through this chapter 9 and look at some different things he cared about. Number one, Nehemiah cared enough to ask. Verse number 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked him concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Who is this Nehemiah we're talking about now? Where is he at? You know the story, you know who he is. This is Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer of the great Artaxerxes, long Emmaus, Manus. His name means the Lord has comforted. Nehemiah is a Jew. He has a rich Jewish heritage, rich Jewish history. Many of his own people are in Jerusalem trying to rebuild the temple at this time. The walls and the gates are still broken down because they were met with Gentile conflict. Nehemiah, however, was not there with his people. Why is he not there already building the wall? Because God had placed him in the high position in the kingdom. He had a job in the palace. He wasn't just a butler's. He was a cupbearer. His job was to taste the wine, taste the drink of the king to make sure it was safe to drink. He had a position of high authority. He was present with the king. Every meal, he was present with the king. Every time the king took a drink, Nehemiah was there to take a drink first, right beside the king, able to converse with the king. We'll see that in the next chapter. He's been around long enough. The king and the queen have learned his mannerisms. They know Nehemiah. We'll find out again in the next chapter. Let me ask you this. What kind of man do you think great king would allow to be beside him every day, all day long? What kind of man would be put in that position? Be able to mingle with the king and be able to bear the cup of the king? Not just a bum off the street. Of course not. Nehemiah had to be a man of high regard. He had to be intelligent, had to be cultured, knowledgeable in the proceedings of the kingdom. He had constant access to the king. He was a man of great influence in the kingdom. He had the king's ear at all times. So to us, it seems he has no need to worry about his home place. He has it taken care of. He is in high importance, high authority, high influence. Why does he care about what happens back in Jerusalem? He doesn't need to go there. He's taken care of. He has no need to go back there. But yet we find that he cared enough to ask how his home was doing. His life was going almost along seemingly just fine. Like many people in the scriptures, he was a powerful person. Moses was raised up in the palace. Joseph was second in command in the entire kingdom. Daniel, same way, made a prince. Nehemiah, king's cupbearer. His entire life was about to change. Nehemiah was in a position of high authority. He's influential. Nothing wrong with being influential. Nothing wrong with having power. Nothing wrong with being a voice in the community or even being wealthy, as long as your spirit is right. I believe Nehemiah was pretty wealthy. I'll maybe get to that later on. He was able to feed everybody's building the wall. They ate at his table. He was a wealthy man. Nothing wrong with that. We find Nehemiah here, however, despite how well he was doing, He wasn't looking for anything. He wasn't desperate for a change. His life was going just right according to the world's standards, yet he cares enough to ask the condition of his home. Any of you here tonight and you think, man, everything is going good. Maybe that message this morning didn't mean too much to you at this time because right now your barrel seems full. Everything is going good. Do you care enough to ask? Do you care enough to ask the Lord, Lord, do I need a revival? Lord, how is my home doing? That's what Nehemiah asked. Lord, he asked his brother, how's the home doing? Lord, how's my home doing? Lord, am I as close to you as I can be? Lord, is there anything else I need to remove? Lord, how's my home doing? Nehemiah says, Hananiah, how's Jerusalem? He cared enough to ask. He didn't need to know. It made no difference to him at the time. He didn't need to go to Jerusalem. Didn't anything from Jerusalem. He cared enough to ask. He cared enough to weep. We see in verse number 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. See, Nehemiah brokenhearted over his home. Nehemiah was the only person to weep over his people. Paul did the same thing, Acts 20:19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. Read about Jeremiah weeping with his people. Even Jesus doing the same thing, weeping over Lazarus. You say, what happened to Nehemiah? He took it personal. He cared enough to ask. He cared enough to allow it to change him. It was personal for him. The revival should be personal. He didn't just ask and shrug it off as we do so many times. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to change? He tells us, many times we shrug it off. We may change for a little while, and we're back at it again, back same sins or same whatever again. Nehemiah cared enough about it, about his home. It affected him. He wept, he fasted, he prayed for certain days, it says. He's the king's cupbearer. It says he fasted and prayed and weeping for certain days. Was king not drinking during these certain days? Or was another man to take his place? I don't know. Maybe Nehemiah was on vacation. I don't know how he's not there. It affected his position. It affected his diet. It affected his speech. It affected his job place. People around him knew that something was wrong with Nehemiah. Nehemiah's heartbroken over something. People around Nehemiah knew he had a burden. We'll find out more about that later on, too. He cared enough. It affected him. It made him weep. You care enough today about revival to allow it to affect you, affect your own heart. We know our country's in a mess. We know this world needs to see something change. We know that. We understand that. Just Friday night, someone, I think it was Brian, asked for prayer for the young people here in Craig and how they have such a hard time and terrible things going on, a lot of temptations. Do we care enough to do anything about it? Do we care enough to allow it to affect us? Do we care enough to weep and pray and fast and seek the Lord to allow us to do something about it? Or is it just a habit? Lord, pray for our country. Oh, pray for the lost or pray for the young people. Do we really care? Do we care enough to allow it to affect us? Nehemiah cared enough to weep, made a difference in his heart. Care enough to ask, care enough to weep, care enough to pray. We already saw that. Verses 5 through 10, we see Nehemiah praying. And he said, "And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, the children of Israel, thy servants, to confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, And ye, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn to me and keep my commandments to do them, there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants, thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand." See, Nehemiah's prayer, not very long, but it made a big difference. It's the first of 12 times in the book of Nehemiah we'll see him pray. He starts the book of Nehemiah with prayer, closes the book of Nehemiah with prayer. Nehemiah was a man who believed in the power of prayer. Nehemiah realized it was not him that could do anything. It would have to come from and through God Almighty. There's a Scottish writer, George MacDonald, that said, "And whatever man does without God, he must fail miserably or succeed more miserably." I thought that was pretty powerful. There are people today who are successful, and their hearts are pretty miserable, more miserable. Nehemiah realized his help was going to have to come from God and care enough to pray about it. He realized he couldn't do it on his own. He realized he had to take it to the Lord, allow the Lord to work it out. Alan Redpath said, "There's too much working before men and too little waiting before God." We have a lot of show, very little prayer. And many of us who are working and working, trying to get something accomplished for the Lord, if we just slow down and just care enough to pray about it, ask the Lord to do something about it, God might do something. That's why we're taking our Friday and Saturday nights and we're slowing down, fellowshipping together as a church family. We're seeking God's face in this thing of revival, asking Him to do something through us. It's not about us. It's nothing in and of ourselves, nothing in and of Nehemiah that could get this done. Nehemiah cannot, he's not a general contractor before. As far as we know, he's a cupbearer. What gives him the authority to do this job? The fact that he was willing to do it. The Lord provided the skills he needed to get it accomplished. It's not about us. Nothing in and of ourselves. We can't bring revival on our own. I can't stir you up enough for revival. I can't do it for you. It's a personal decision. We've got to be willing to care enough to ask. Care enough to we can care enough to pray about it. If you're waiting until Saturday night to pray for revival, you're missing the point. We'll be seeking every day on our own lives, not just for the meeting coming in January, we'll be seeking in our hearts all the time. Nehemiah starts off his prayer with praise. You look at his prayer here in verse number 5. He says, "I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant, and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." Starts off his prayer with praise. We can learn a lot from Nehemiah and his prayer life. Many times we jump right into our grocery list. "Lord, I need this, and we need this, and please do this, and do this for me, and do that for me." That'll do you good to praise him for a little while. In verse 6 through 9, I'm not going to read it again, but he confesses his sins, not just his own. He confesses his ancestors' sin, his country's sins, sins he wasn't even a part of. He's begging God, beseeching God to forgive it all, whether he did or not. He took possession of it. He says, "I am my father's house of sin." Took possession of it. He took the blame for it. Why is he doing this? Why does it matter to him? Because he cared enough to make it a matter of prayer. He knew there needed to be a change. He knew there needed to be somebody to ask forgiveness. He cared enough to do it. Just do it himself. We've got to do the same if we want revival in our own hearts, in our own homes. I don't believe God's going to bless us and actually give us revival with unconfessed sins left back in the corner, hidden. You've got to get them right. Whatever sin you have stored back in the corner of your closet, get it out, get it right. Confess your sins. Take ownership of them. He took ownership of his sins and his sins of his own people. He says, both I and my Father's house took it upon himself. He cared enough to pray, cared enough to beg for mercy, cared enough to beg for forgiveness. Will you get it right tonight? What sins are you holding on to? Will you get it right? Why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? What are you holding on to? Get it right tonight. He cared enough to pray, cared enough to get things right, cared enough to ask forgiveness for things that he may have not even been a part of. He cared. Not only to care enough to ask forgiveness, not only to care enough to pray, you can care enough to weep, care enough to ask. He cared enough, verse number 11, he cared enough to volunteer. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. He didn't say, Lord, there's a problem down there in Jerusalem, but I have a high position authority here. I can't leave and go do it. Lord, you send somebody else. He didn't say, Lord, there's a problem down there. Please send someone who's skilled at building walls. He said, Lord, send me. He says, Lord, let the king let me go. He had a burden. He cared enough to ask. He cared enough to weep. He cared enough to pray. He cared enough to volunteer, put himself on the line. Many of us say we want revival, but we are appointed maybe the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or the father in the home to do it. Quit pointing fingers and just volunteer. Revival's got to start with you. You can start in your heart. I can't do it for you. Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what would you have me change? Lord, what do you want in my life? What walls do you want me to build? Nehemiah is leaving behind a life of luxury in the king's palace. He's leaving behind the care of the king, eating at the king's table. He's going from eating at the king's table to feeding everybody else at his table. It doesn't stop him. Then Solomon says, Lord, let him let me go. Maybe some of you here that are afraid if you volunteer to the Lord for revival, it might mess up your plans. Maybe you're afraid the Lord is going to change the plans you have for your future. Maybe you're afraid to leave the life of luxury you might have planned for you. You might have planned for yourself in exchange for the mission field or different. I don't know what the Lord has planned for you. What are you afraid of tonight? What's keeping you from volunteering? Do you care enough to volunteer? I didn't even see this until I was reading it earlier. The very last phrase of that verse, number 11, he says, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah's already changed his mind. I was the king's cupbearer. Now I'm going to build some walls. He says, Lord, you take care of the king. You take care of the situation. You allow me to go, for I was the king's cupbearer. He's purposing his heart that things are going to change. He cared enough to change. Care enough to change his outlook. Care enough to change his future. We've been meeting to pray. We've exchanged prayer requests. Do you care enough about him to do something about it? You care enough to ask or weep or pray or maybe even volunteer. I'm not asking you to volunteer to me tonight. I give it to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do? Are you indifferent to this idea of revival? Are you indifferent to making a change for the Lord? Are you willing? It's up to you. I can't do it for you. I can't bring revival. I can schedule a meeting. I can coordinate with a visiting preacher and get him here. I can schedule cottage prayer meetings. I can preach what the Lord gives me and try to share what revival is. But I can't bring it. I can't do it for you. May something between you and the Lord. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I read this last week. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's not complicated. We have instructions for it. It's got to follow through with it. Our land sure needs some healing. Our nation, we sure need some walls put back up here like Nehemiah did here in the book here. Our barriers are getting torn down between the church and the world. We need some wall builders tonight. Do you care? That's the message tonight. Do you care? Are you indifferent to it? Do you want to see something done? Does it matter to you at all? You leaving it for somebody else to do? Lord, I'll volunteer somebody else to do that. That's what Moses did. Lord, here am I. Send Aaron to do it. I can't do it. What are you doing tonight? What are you doing for him tonight? What are you willing to do for him tonight? Do you care? It's up to you. Lord, thank you this day. Lord, thank you for even giving us. Lord, I pray you have a good night's rest tonight. Lord, thank you for the ones that are able to come be with us here, and ones willing to spend their time here with us. And thank you for that. Lord, I pray you bless them. Lord, I pray you use this church in Jesus' name.